am in the car, and Zach is where he normally is, and Auburn won last night.
What is it with you? Like, if you're not in your office, if you're not in your office, just weird stuff happens. And I don't like that.
I know. I don't like it.
I'm a creature of habit, and you leaving town really messes that up for me.
I know. I don't know what to tell you. You're right, Zach. I should have driven back at 11 o'clock last night and gotten in at 1:30 or 2 and just done the normal thing today. You're right.
I did wonder what the plan was, because there's no, like, Auburn doesn't play today. So I guess the plan is y'all are just hanging out in Hoover for the day?
Yeah, pretty much.
What are you doing in Hoover today? What are you most excited to accomplish?
Oh, Davenport's Pizza Palace. No question. It's the best.
I've never even heard of that. That's a thing in Hoover?
Oh, it's not in Hoover, but it's close. It's the best pizza in the country. And I've had pizza in a lot of different places.
In Birmingham? The best pizza in America is in Birmingham? I don't believe that.
It's in Mountain Brook. Yep, sure enough.
The best pizza in America.
Yeah.
Is it Mountain Brook?
Yeah, it's not in Brooklyn. Not in Brooklyn, not in Chicago. Not in Detroit, not in any of these Little Italy places in the country. Nope. Birmingham, Alabama.
How about that? I'm going to go now. I can't wait to try it.
Right by the zoo and botanical gardens, best pizza in the country.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, where should we put the best pizza place? Let's put it next to the zoo in Birmingham.
I can't help it, Zach. I can't help what things are. I'm just reporting on the news. Can you send me a picture of it later?
I want to see what this pizza looks like.
Absolutely, yes.
I'm being genuine. If you're telling me it's that good and it's only 2 hours for me, I'm excited.
I think you should drive up and join us for lunch today, as a matter of fact.
What time are you eating, you think, if you had to guess?
Probably around 12.
If it was next week, I gotta absolutely do it.
Oh, here we go. Oh, if it was next, well, you know, doggone it, just can't make it today.
So I'll tell you what, this week and this past week have been just the gauntlet of end of year ceremonies, whether it's end of year ballet recitals, which those are all checked off now.
Yeah.
And end of year school stuff. We got a kindergarten graduation happening.
Oh, huge.
Today. Big day in the Blackerby household.
That's right. Let me tell you how major they become after kindergarten. I got a call from my son this morning who has a half day of school, and it's a field day. Seventh grade is a half day field day, and then he's coming home to watch SEC baseball. So it does get a little better. It gets a little lighter anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, the school part is pretty light. We got to pick them up at 10:45. I'm like, what's the point of going to school?
Yeah.
You're dropping them off at 7:45, then you're going to get them at 10:30?
Yeah. If you can get brunch after you pick up your kid, that's not a school day.
Craziness.
Not a school day. Wow. So Auburn baseball won last night, beat LSU 3-1. Jake Marciano was as good as he's been in like 2 months.
Yeah,
he's like
great.
He was in non-conference form. Now, look, LSU is not what they were last year, and there's a big difference when you face Texas A&M, Mississippi State, and Georgia three straight weeks, and the LSU lineup just didn't have it the same way. But man, Jake's stuff was really good, and then Jackson Sanders is incredible.
I mean, that stack between them, I mean, it's proven to be one of the best, full nine innings in the conference from the mound.
So they will play Texas A&M now tomorrow night.
And it's expected to start around 7 p.m. Central Time.
6:30 or 7, somewhere around there.
6, 7.
Right. So, but that was good. Guevara homered, Frelick homered. And then they scored their middle run on a really weird play for folks who didn't stay up to watch it. Just a ground ball up the middle. LSU made an error on a throw to third, and that let a run score. So,
McCrane scored. Yeah. And then Rembert's the one who benefited from the error, if I remember correctly.
It was his. Yeah, they gave him a hit, but it was the error on the throw that brought McCrane around to score.
So. Got it. Yeah, I mean, we'll take it. We'll take it for sure. Guevara's home run, longest hang time of any home run in the SEC this year. They told him on the I had SEC Now while working on some stuff afterwards, and they were interviewing him, and he like, yeah. I guess George had not told him that yet, and he got that news on the broadcast, and him reacting to that live, like that raw emotion was actually pretty cool.
Oh, that's neat. That's neat. Did you see that they got Brandon McCrane and Mason McCrane before the game?
No, what happened?
Well, they just got an interview. They interviewed. Oh,
I didn't see that. What was the gist of it?
Priceless television. I think they asked Brandon what the biggest adjustment was from playing second base or shortstop, maybe at Smith Station, to playing in college. And his answer was, I don't know.
Did he say it like that? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was, I don't know. I love those guys. Those guys are great.
They just don't care.
No, they really don't.
They just want to have fun and play baseball.
Have fun and play ball. And how about this? They're good at it. Yeah. And they're good at it, too. So
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that. I need to find that. That's great.
That was pregame. That was pregame yesterday. So
Auburn has, with LSU holding LSU to just one run last night, Auburn has held their opponents to under three runs 31 times this season, which is tied for the most in D1 baseball.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's because they haven't played anyone, Brad. I'm sure.
Right. Yeah, it's only the toughest schedule in the country. Jay Johnson, the LSU head coach, who has two national titles with LSU, he said in his pregame interview on TV last night, his pick to win the whole thing was Auburn. He said in his pregame interview, he said, this is the first time we've faced them this year, and we're probably fortunate that's the case. He said, wow. Auburn is my pick to win it all. And
was he talking about College World Series, or was he talking about Hoover?
He was talking about the College World Series. He was talking about Omaha pick to win it all. So, I don't know.
If they can get there, Brad, they are built like a team to win it. They got to get there, though.
Yeah, that's it. It's like last year they were a World Series team. And that's what he said last year, because Auburn swept LSU last year. Let's not forget, Auburn swept LSU last year at Plainsman Park. And Jay Johnson, after that series, said that's a team that's an Omaha team. They're built. Auburn was built to win it last year.
Just ran into a buzzsaw. I mean, Coastal was unbelievable, and their pitchers were on an absolute heater. We just couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, and there was like one play in the first game that could have gone the other way and changed. Not to revise history now a year later, but that's it. You're built for a very deep run in the postseason. Matchups are important. Now, did last night's win do anything to lock up a top eight? No, I think they already have a top eight locked up.
Yeah, that was my takeaway too when I went live on Locked On was, this is great. I want Auburn to win the whole dang thing. Of course, it'd be great for Butch Thompson, the team, the players, the fans.
Yeah.
But as far as discussion for a national seed, if you felt like they were on the fence, like, I don't think this changes that. You probably still think they're on the fence, but most people think they were already a lock. Win or lose last night, I still feel the same, but might as well win the whole dang thing while you're there.
Yeah. And set up to do it.
There is a narrative that I hate that is happening. I hate it. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, man.
Not it's really dumb. No, it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And I think it has to do with a lack of reading comprehension and basic logic.
Wow.
I want to talk about that in a second.
What a strong start. Okay.
I want to talk about that in a second.
All right.
What ad read are we doing today?
Ford Stokes.
The GOAT.
Ford Stokes and Calendly.com/Ford Stokes. I love this. you need a plan for your financial future. You want things to be secure in retirement. And you want to make sure well ahead of that retirement that it's going to be secure. You can book your meeting with Ford by going straight to his calendar. This is not a gimmick. This is his calendar.
It is.
You can book your own spot yourself and meet with Ford and talk with him and take advantage of some really cool things that he has just because you watch or listen to The Barn. So just because you watch or listen to Village Vice, Ford Stokes and Active Wealth Management will give you an opportunity.
Has some of the best products on the market, Brad. He's got access to stuff that only 1% of agents have, including some incredible deals regarding, you know, fixed annuities as far as like replacing, you know, current bonds and all that. It's an incredible strategy. He breaks down the math for you. He's a genius. So I trust Ford with my retirement and my money. Strongly endorse him every step of the way. This whole, like, we see it from our fans, which is even dumber, and we also see it from outside fans, which is fine. You know, they just want to react to things without having, like, I don't expect other fan bases to have full context. That's fine. Our fans doing it is so weird. It's one of the, and I don't think any other fan bases do this.
Okay.
But the whole, like, up, we got another three-star you. Up, Alex Golish is making Auburn three-star you. And I just want to, what are you doing? What are you thinking about? So, obviously yesterday, Kareem Palmer, Auburn's linebacker commitment, he gets his four-star. He's a four-star on ESPN. He's also a four-star in the 247 sports composite. And so that was one of the ones over the weekend where, like, oh, Auburn got another three-star. And then Auburn then gets a top-five offensive tackle in this class with Leighton Von Brandt. And it's like, oh, all right. I had somebody comment, like, but he's not a three-star. Are you going to, like, you know, give his commitment back? I'm like, are you an idiot? Are you an idiot? So Auburn has eight guys in the class now.
Yeah.
As we sit here and have this conversation, you're outside of a hotel sitting in your car.
Right.
And there's, of the eight, let's just go through them.
Yeah.
Do you mind?
I don't mind at all. I love this.
Mycen Johnson Cook, third best running back in the class, four-star across the board.
Yep.
Leighton Von Brandt, top five offensive tackle in the class, four-star across the board.
Yep.
Donovan Moore, one of the best players in the state of Alabama, one of the most important positions in football, defensive line, four-star across the board.
Okay.
George Lamons Jr. If you just go to Auburn's page, three-star, he's a four-star in the 247 composite. So when you take the average of everything, he is a four-star.
Yeah.
Rylan Odor, four-star in the composite.
Uh-huh.
The receiver. Kareem Palmer, four-star in the composite, four-star on ESPN.
Yeah.
Then Jalen Moore is an interior offensive lineman. You're not going to see many of those guys get a bump. You're just not. And then Gary Chapman Jr., who is the quarterback in this class. We, you know, we've talked about our thoughts regarding him. Six of eight.
Yeah.
Six of eight.
That's
are not three stars.
Yeah.
And so all these people saying this, Auburn fans included, what are you doing?
Get them.
It just, it's weird, Brad. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah. Well, I think, Zach, this is another takeoff on the conversation we were having about baseball Monday. And some of the comments that we got on that show Monday were defending a defeatist attitude. And I'm not sure why we do that. I'm not sure why we want some. Not, again, this isn't everybody. But it's probably more than it ought to be for what Auburn's history is. I don't know why you would defend a defeatist attitude as opposed to attack it. And actually look and, all right, well, do we have all three stars? No. And the only two three-star guys that are committed right now are at a position, you touched on this, at a position where you're not going to get a ton of four-star guys rated as four-star guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's not uncommon for really good interior offensive linemen to top out at three stars.
Yeah, and then the Gary Chapman thing at quarterback, this is tinfoil hat. I said this on Locked On, but I think him shutting it down and not taking any more visits,
yeah,
probably going to limit him from moving up the rankings a ton, because there's no reason to move him up. It's like, all right, he's done. The evaluations are done. Like,
yeah,
I think from like the politics aspect of what recruiting rankings are, I do think that will hinder him. I also don't seem like he's the kind of kid who cares, which is exactly who you want at quarterback. I think the Gary Chapman Jr. thing is like a microcosm culturally of what Golish is doing.
I do too.
You get a guy to buy in, shuts everything down. I want to be here. There's no reason to play games. Let's just do this. So,
and do you feel like Alex Golish like super cares about how many stars his quarterback?
So I ordered that shirt from AUShirts.com. It actually is arriving today.
Oh, that's incredible. You're telling me you go to AUShirts.com and get a I don't like super care shirt?
Yes. That's correct.
Outstanding. That's correct.
Yeah, I got a hoodie. I'll try to remember to wear it for the Octopod Live Dive tomorrow.
That's awesome. Okay. I'm gonna go order mine today too.
Cool. AUShirts.com, people.
That's incredible. I love that. So we had our luncheon yesterday and Golish spoke. And I thought one of the coolest parts of our Q&A was where he talked about Byron Brown, just speaking of quarterbacks. That's the bridge to this conversation. He and Byron Brown text each other pictures of whoever gets to the facility first every morning.
I love that.
I do too. I love my head coach and quarterback actively competing with each other about who's getting to the facility first every morning. And he said that he made Byron take some time away because he's always, he mandated that he take some time off because he's working so hard. He's in the facility all the time. And like, and the head coach took great delight in telling that crowd of people yesterday about how he texted Byron today his empty spot in the parking lot and showed him his with his car in it. Like, hey, I'm here. Enjoy your time off.
That's hilarious. So,
I love that. I like, that's exactly what I want. Who do you want your two most competitive people to be?
Quarterback
and head coach.
I mean, we've said, you know, if we've said it once, we've said it a million times, like it's so different. It's so different than what we've had. Does different always mean better? Does it always mean more wins? No, it doesn't. Right. But man, it feels like it. It feels like this is the way you want to go, which is great.
There was another answer that I wanted to share. Somebody asked him about the secret sauce in recruiting. And he said, I don't know that it's so much a secret sauce as it is the need for authenticity has never been greater. It forces you to give a why to everything you do. Because you can't just tell kids now, and they are still kids, no matter what money they're making, they are still kids in some capacity. And they want to know why. They want to know why you do stuff. Everything. From why you run a play a certain way, to why your nutrition is set up the way it is, to why the training schedule and everything. And it says, and it makes you develop and understand your why to do everything. And when you share that with kids, and when you share that and you go, this is going to be the hardest stuff you've ever done in your life. You've been coddled forever. And this is going to be the hardest stuff you've ever done. And the right kids embrace that. And if they don't, like if they bristle at it when you give them that speech, after all the balloons and all the fireworks and all the other stuff on a visit, here's the real stuff. If they bristle at that, then you know, well, all right, on to the next one. I love that that's the attitude this staff has. It's like it's their attitude. It's not something they're taking, like they pull it off a shelf and put it back. That's who they are.
Yeah.
We're going to work you very hard, and we're going to do what we tell you we're going to do. And you know what? If you don't like it, no, this isn't the spot for you. Reminds me a little bit of what, like, you remember when Kirby Smart last year was talking about physical play? And he was like, we want to be physical because, like, if our practice is too physical for you, we want you to go to a team where they're not as physical, and then we want to play you. That's kind of what this reminds me of is, man, if this hard work isn't for you, well, then you should go to a different team and we'll play
and
you.
We want to play you. Yeah.
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 Love it. Did you ask him about his favorite Golden Flake flavor?
Yes. Dill pickle.
That's unfortunate.
What's wrong with a dill pickle chip?
I just think there are a lot of better options.
There are some better options. Yeah. Now he also said he had an idea. The question was coming and there was a bag of dill pickle chips like in front of his office today. So I think they greased the wheels. I think they set him up.
Pickle propaganda. The machine behind all that was already running.
Yeah. Big dill pickle was, or big chip was behind this big potato chip.
Interesting. Wow. We're really getting a peek behind the curtain here.
Right. Yeah.
So I've heard Hotel Brad is an absolute menace. That's what I've heard. That's what they're saying.
I don't know what that means. Hotel Brad doesn't want to inconvenience anybody. And that's why Hotel Brad is Car Brad today.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to go inconvenience anybody.
It was a late night.
Yeah,
for everybody.
It was. And because it was the fourth largest crowd ever at the SEC tournament for a Wednesday night game between Auburn and LSU.
That's insane.
Yeah. Don't ever let anybody try to tell you that like Auburn baseball isn't a draw. LSU brought fans. Auburn people turned out last night.
It looked packed on TV.
It took forever to get out of there.
Oh, really?
Forever. Because there's one row. For folks who aren't familiar and never been to the Hoover Met, there's one way out of there. So you got 14,000 or however many people were in there, all one road out.
But I would think y'all would leave so much later than the game, but they're still having a hard time getting out of there?
An hour later and barely moving.
That sounds miserable, honestly.
It's like four lanes out and that's it.
Like that makes me just not want to go at all. That sounds terrible.
Oh, but can you imagine if Auburn is here in the champion, like Saturday in the semifinals or Sunday in the title game? There'd be orange and blue everywhere. It'll be great.
That'd be fun. Got to get through A&M first, yep. Obviously. Ugh, excuse me. Late one. Your thoughts on the ABS thing?
it's terrible. Who likes it?
Like, nobody. Why is it there?
Oh, pitchers like it and catchers like it. And coaches and hitters hate it. It's not like the major league system where they measured every player and then put that into their system and they have a tailored strike zone for everybody. There have been pitches throughout the tournament, and we finally saw it firsthand last night, that look flat out, hey, aren't strikes. They aren't strikes.
Right.
But because of the system in place, and LSU used it well last night. They challenged early. They got the call. And then the home plate umpire doesn't want to be, he doesn't want to get a bad score all night long. So he's got to start calling the ball at the shin a strike.
Crazy.
I mean, there were a dozen of those last night that just weren't strikes. But because the ABS zone is so big, especially at the bottom and the top of the zone, you have to call it. So,
yeah, it's like an inch wider on each side, and then it's like several inches up and down. It's wild.
It's literally at the shins. We had seven or eight pitches at the shins last night that were strikes. And that's not a strike.
It's not.
But
we're not out there playing golf. It's baseball.
No, that's it. There were plenty you had to get a pitching wedge to hit instead of a bat. Crazy. And I guess that'll be the case throughout the weekend. So, for Andreas Alvarez and Alex Petrovic and LJ Cormier, I think Cormier will use it really effectively. I think those guys can use it well.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta do that to combat the juiced baseballs we got here. I'm kidding. I don't think they're actually juiced. But we've hit more homers in eight games than we hit all of last year at the tournament.
Yeah, sound pretty juiced to me, which is fine. Which is fine. All right, I think that does it for today's show.
It does. Thanks, everybody, for watching or for listening, however you get the show. Remember the live dive tomorrow, 10 o'clock. We'll be there. Yep. I think everybody will be awake, so we'll just do it from the hotel room tomorrow. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.